doing today. If you would please give us your attention and turn to our announcements. Thank you so much.
On Saturday, April the 5th at 10 a.m., the ladies will have a shower for our church's kitchen. Bring your favorite breakfast or brunch dish to share, and also an item to replenish our kitchen area. There's no need to wrap it, as we'll have fun looking at what all is purchased for our kitchen. Andy and Lindsay are expecting a baby in early May, so let's show our love by dropping off diapers and wipes in the church's lobby. We'll be collecting the first 2 weeks of April. Everybody loves a picnic, so join us on Saturday, April 19th at 4:30 p.m. at Logan Park in Acworth. The hamburgers, hot dogs, desserts, and drinks will be provided, so just bring a dish and a chair. We look forward to hanging out with you at the park. Invite your family and friends to worship with us on Good Friday. We will have a special service at 7 p.m., remembering the ultimate sacrifice Jesus made for us. We'll see you at 7 on Good Friday. Easter Sunday has so many opportunities for you to invite your family and friends to worship with us. We'll have a sunrise service at 6:45, the early service at 8:30, Sunday school at 9:45, and our regular church service at 11. There'll also be a breakfast served around 7:20. There's tons of activities for the children and youth, so bring everyone to celebrate with us at Real Life Christian Church on Easter.
1, 2, vamp, 2, 3, 4. Verse 1. Bridge. bridge. Build.
Day. We have so many good things going on. We got Mountain Mission here today. Something I am personally thankful for is it is raining, which means all the pollen is going away, at least for a minute. So awesome for that. But also, we just have time that we get to come here and worship God. So if you will, bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear God, we come to you today. And we are so thankful that we get to sing out our lungs for you. And we get to lift your name in worship because that is one of the best things that we can do. It makes us feel great because we are lifting your name up to its rightful place, which is above everything else. So thank you for giving us the ability to do that. Thank you for giving us a place to do that. And thank you for giving us all these people to do it with. So in your name, we just thank you for everything. Amen. You guys can go ahead and be seated.
One, two, one, two, three, four, five, six. Chorus. Bridge. Drums in. Bridge. All in. End.
Throughout our region, there are kids with the odds against them. Throughout our region, there are kids with the odds against them. Kids at risk due to extreme poverty or the loss of a parent. But Mountain Mission School is here to help those kids beat the odds by giving them a loving home, a first-class pre-K through 12 education, plus faith, skills, responsibility, and hope.
My mission saved my life. It really did.
Mountain Mission School, rescuing kids, raising leaders since 1921. Learn more at mmskids.org. Throughout our region, there are kids with the odds against them.
For 100 years, Mountain Mission School has been a place of shelter, education, and opportunity for countless young lives. Likewise, this beautiful United States of America has welcomed our families from foreign lands, torn by war, poverty, and famine, offering us a hope in scripture for our education, freedom from religious and political persecution, and a chance to one day achieve our dreams. Many of us identify with this poem inscribed at the base of the Statue of Liberty. It states, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these the homeless, the tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden doors." We thank God for America. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's probably not a person here who doesn't recognize those words as the beginning of our Lord's Prayer. But it might not be so easy to identify that same prayer in Mandarin, Arabic, or Amharic. Listen as we sing it the way many do in Swahili.
Amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina lako wewe tukuzwe.
Amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina lako wewe tukuzwe.
Utupe leo chakula chetu, tunachohitaji utusamehe makosa yetu. Milele sitasahau, usitutie katika majaribu lakini utuokoe na yule mwovu. Milele
Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Tunachohitaji utusamehe makosa yetu kama nasi milele tukosea, usitutie katika majaribu lakini utuokoe na yule mwovu. Milele
I'm Haywan, a freshman from Ethiopia. Our next number, an Appalachian spiritual, has an oral history that probably dates back to the 1780s. I can visualize someone, maybe a tired slave or a grieving mother, singing the song as a reminder that heaven was just ahead. When we struggle, we can be encouraged by God of witnesses who have gone before us.
I am a poet. stranger while traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam.
In the book of Romans, Paul states, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not even the grave, can separate us from our eternal home in heaven."
Yeah.
there's a black bear that roams our campus at night, turning over trash cans and dragging his new discoveries up the mountainside. We like to call him But I'm not as afraid of Boo Boo as I am another creature, the devil, who roams around roaring like a lion, seeking who he may devour. We can't stop him from his huntings, but we can. Shut de do.
Child, good and bad was just a game. Many years and many trials, they proved to me they're not the same. Satan is an evil charmer. He's hungry for his soul to burn. And without your holy armor, he will eat you for dessert. Shut-dee-do, you better shut-dee-do, shut-dee-do. Everything's alright, everything's alright, everything's alright.
Scary news reports fill us with fear and dread. We need to be reminded that God is bigger than anything on earth. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For he is a stronghold in my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he alone is worthy."
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? And do you know that all the light won't stop light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? And is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is able to break the seal and open the scroll. The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. He has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is.
Thank you all so much for having us today. It is our honor and privilege to be here this morning. We've spent the past week, we started in South Carolina last Friday and made our way down into Florida and sang at a few churches. And then you guys are last but not least for sure stop on our way back to Grundy this evening. So thank you so much for having us. I know it's been a long time since we've been to Woodstock, so we are so glad that we could be here at Real Life Christian Church and be with you all this morning. As I was thinking about what I should preach about this morning, I thought about our school's mission statement. And our school's mission statement is this: rescuing kids, raising leaders, and reaching nations. I'm not sure when this mission statement came to be, but I can guarantee you this, that some godly men put it together in deep prayer, because this message is something that Christ is all about. He's all about rescuing. Yesterday we have a brand new like mini bus. You may have seen it out there hooked up to the trailer that we got given to us, donated to us. It's brand new. It's less than 5,000 miles. The van broke down yesterday in Valdosta, Georgia. So we were all the way on the bottom of the state of Georgia, and the tensioner pulley broke on this. I'm like, this is brand new. This shouldn't have happened. And we definitely needed rescued. And you know, Jesus is in the business of rescuing people. And for 100 years, Mountain Mission School has been a refuge for kids in situations. Kids that need a helping hand. If you take a moment and hear the stories of our students and where they've came from, there's many different situations, whether it's their homes being torn apart by war or just a financial need for the family or a situational need. Mountain Mission School, for over 100 years, has been helping change these students' story. And Jesus was all about rescuing kids. I think of the time when the parents tried to bring the little children to Jesus, and the disciples turned them away and said, no, Jesus doesn't have time for you. And what did Jesus respond with? Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to these. I believe that Jesus' heart is for the children, don't you think? When a child was sick, he healed them. When they were dead, he brought the child back to life. When he talked about what you needed to do to enter the kingdom of heaven, he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like these little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I feel like I'm still directing up here. I got to put this hand down. What does it take, church, for us to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, it takes us to become like a little child. When you come onto the campus of Mountain Mission School, you'll see this statue of Jesus holding the little child in his arms. This screams that we love children just like Jesus loves children. When you walk through the church here, I went down the hallways and I saw the walls and the children's area. It screams that Real Life Christian Church loves children. You guys have activities for Easter. You have baby showers. You have all these things because you guys find children to be so important to raise up the next generation. And the Lord wasn't just about rescuing kids, but he was about rescuing everyone. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, we read in Daniel chapter 3, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. With the prostitute Rahab, I don't have to describe her desperate situation, but it says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she was welcome to spies, she was killed with those who were disobedient. The prophet Jonah, in his desperate situation in the belly of the fish, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, and he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm, the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. The lame man sitting by the pool. In John chapter 5, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. Our Lord is in the business of rescuing people. Over the years of being a minister of the gospel, I've seen people being rescued from difficult situations. Chains of addiction being broken. Broken marriages being restored. Wayward children coming home. People receiving Christ in their last hour. A baptistry that was so worn out from being used hundreds and hundreds of times that it had to be replaced. Are you in a desperate situation this morning, church? Are you worried about where your next meal may come from? Worried about if you'll be able to make it through your current situation at hand? Worried about where you will spend eternity when you die? The beautiful thing about needing to be rescued is that it requires somebody to save us, doesn't it? And good news, I know a Savior, don't you? Jesus is in the business of rescuing people. And Jesus was also in the business of raising leaders. Mountain Mission School isn't just about rescuing kids, but our goal is to help them to become leaders. Young men and women who have become very successful people through the mentoring that we have at MMS. We've had doctors come as a product of Mountain Mission School, lawyers, businessmen and women, professional athletes, teachers, the list goes on and on. Have any of you ever heard of Oscar Tshiebwe, who plays for the Utah Jazz now? He was a student at Mountain Mission School. And at Mountain Mission School, we teach the kids to bring honor and glory to God. And he learned these habits of being shown Christ. And Jesus is in the business of raising leaders. During his ministry on earth, who did he spend most of his time with? Well, 12 men from very different backgrounds imaginable. And he spent time with them, teaching them to become godly leaders. And he showed them examples of what it looked like. He taught them lessons of faith. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "What are you talking about, Jesus? We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And what did Jesus do from that? He gave thanks to his Father in heaven, broke the bread and fish, and there was so much leftovers that day that each of the disciples picked up baskets full. The disciples learned that day to trust Jesus. Peter learned on his own to trust Jesus. When the disciples were on the waters on that eerie night, thinking they saw a ghost, but Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I got that all confused here. Sorry. He reached out to him and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come out onto the water to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter walked out onto the water, got out of the boat, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he took his eyes off Jesus, and what started to happen to him? He started to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand to him, and he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" Peter learned yet again to trust Jesus with all of his heart. And Jesus taught his disciples many lessons. He taught them to honor those in authority. He said, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." He taught them compassion. When the man came needing to heal from leprosy, he said to them, he reached out his hand and Jesus said, "I am willing, be clean." Jesus healed him of the leprosy. That's where my verse got all mixed up. I don't know why it got all twisted in my sermon here. He taught them to trust. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking when Jesus told them to put their nets out. He taught them humility during that Last Supper when there was no one to serve the meal. Jesus got up, put a towel around his waist, got the basin of water, and began to wash the disciples' feet. He taught them obedience when he willingly went to the cross. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Where else should we learn the example of being leaders than Christ's example? I'm the choir director at Mountain Mission School, and we really enjoyed the opportunity to be part of directing the choir. I've never directed a choir before coming to Mountain Mission School, but I fell in love with what the ministry was going on at Mountain Mission School, and they said, "We need a choir director." And I said, "Well, I'll do my best, and we'll make it happen." And I've directed worship teams and different stuff, so I have a music background, but it was a neat experience for me. But one of the neatest experiences I have for us was actually we went to Florida last year, and we were having this choir tour, and we went to this place called the Park of the Palms, and it was a nursing home. And here's what I saw our kids doing, going around, reaching out to the people and loving on them. And I asked the students, what was your favorite part of the trip? And they said, "Well, actually going to the nursing home and getting to talk to these people and just to show them the love of Jesus." This is what making disciples looks like. And it's beautiful when you see something as genuine as this. Our kids at Mountain Mission School are daily equipped with biblical truths from diapers all the way to diplomas. They have Bible classes they take every single day. We have church on Sundays, youth groups on Wednesdays, devotions on the hall, countless opportunities for the students to serve the Lord. Mountain Mission is in the business of raising godly leaders, and I know that Real Life Christian Church is in the very same business. There are people here who preach, who run the audiovisual, who take care of the coffee, who teach the kids, who serve as elders and deacons, who lead Bible studies, pick people up from church, lead people to Christ. The list goes on and on and on. Real Life Christian Church, continue to raise leaders to be faithful servants of Christ, no matter where life takes them. And in doing so, we reach nations together. Reaching is my last point. And Jesus' word tells us in Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, stay put in your homes and be comfortable," right? No. He said, "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of age." Our mission as Christians is to go into the world and to teach everybody about Jesus. Do you remember the little song that we sang as little kids? The "Jesus loves the little children." Sing with me. "All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world." Mountain Mission School has served from over 75 different countries around the world. The Great Commission tells us to go, but what is neat about Mountain Mission School is the students come to us. The world comes to us. Here this morning, you have students represented from many different nations. We have students here. And students, if you raise your hand, everybody can kind of look around. We have students from Ethiopia. We have students from Tanzania. We have students from Uganda, Rwanda. And we even have students from that country of Kentucky. Anybody ever heard of that one? What's neat about Mountain Mission School is when they come to us through Christ, we rescue them. Well, Christ rescues them from different difficult situations, raises them to be leaders, and then we send them out to go and to reach others for him. A church on mission is one that's sending people out. Real Life is sending people out. You are equipping people to go into the mission field and share Christ. You're sending them into their schools, into their workplaces, into their neighborhoods, into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Never ever lose that mission, church. Revelations 2 tells us, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life," or the victor's crown. Church, go. Share the good news of the gospel with the world around you. And what's neat is you don't even have to go across the world to share the gospel if that's not what God's calling you to do. Your mission field is right outside those doors. There's a community that's hurting right around you that needs to hear the good news of Jesus. Share it with them. Share the gospel with the person around you. What's the worst somebody can say to you? Sorry, that's not for me. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I want to take every opportunity I have to share with you the good news of Jesus. Or simply, "Hey, you know, we're having this event over at the church. Would you like to come with us? The kids are going to, you know, play these games and it'll be a fun time." What a great opportunity just to invite someone here. Church, we have a world hurting right outside our doors who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So share it with them. The problem we have in this world is sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Who's all? Everybody point to yourself. It's all of us, right? Every single one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And while that's kind of a depressing message, it's kind of a reassuring message of we're all in the same boat. We've all messed up. And because we've messed up, in Romans 6:23, we learn that sin leads to death. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of death, God had to do something about it because he loves each and every one of us so much. That in Romans 5:8 we read, but God demonstrated his own love towards us in this, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in the midst of our sins, while we were in the midst of lying, while we were in the midst of cheating or doing things that we shouldn't have done, Jesus died for us, knowing fully well everything that we would ever do wrong. Our Savior still went up to that cross. And the beautiful thing about that is even if I was the only one that Jesus needed to save, he still would have climbed up on that cross and died for me. And that's that message of hope, because he did it for each and every single one of us. And because of that, to receive the love, we simply need to have faith. And Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It doesn't matter how good I am or how bad I am. It doesn't matter how many kittens I save from the trees or old ladies that I help cross the road, right? No matter what I do, I can't be good enough to get into heaven on my own. My only ticket in is through my Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on the cross. And that's your ticket too. And when we have the faith, the Bible says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved, right? No. He says you will be saved. That if you say with your mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. When we believe in Jesus, when we commit our life to Jesus, and we answer that call, and become obedient, we surrender to him, and we surrender our life through baptism, through being made new in Christ, Jesus comes and he changes us. Here recently at Mountain Mission School this year, we've had the opportunity to baptize over 30 students into Christ from Mountain Mission School and from the community around us. Amen. Here recently, our school has teamed up with one of the local high schools, and we get together about once a quarter, and we have an event. And we had an event out on the Grundy. Any of you ever been to Grundy before? There's a few of you that's been to Grundy before. We've had an event on the football field at Grundy High School, and we brought one of the troughs that the football players soak in if they have an injury. Well, we got it nice and hot, and it was so warm in that water that night, but it was such a cold night, and so many kids came down, and they gave their life because of the message that was shared with them. God has been blessing our ministry, and he's calling us to go and to share it with the world around us. Yesterday, we were in a desperate situation. Let me show you, actually. Here's a picture of some of the baptisms that happened at the football field. It was really great. But yesterday, we were in a desperate situation. Like I said, our brand new bus, broken down. We've got all these kids. We needed to get this vehicle going, but then there's a problem. Good news is we had a master mechanic that's part of our crew, Mr. Dave Mayer. If you haven't met him, make sure you meet him. He's a wonderful man. But we called the parts stores. Nobody had the tensioner pulley with them. Not a single parts store in all of Valdosta had this part. We tried calling the dealership. We tried calling all over. And then randomly, I'm not even sure how he did this, but he called a Chevy dealership all the way over in Brunswick, Georgia, and just so happened that they were open, their parts department was open at 5 o'clock on a Saturday. That doesn't happen. If you know dealerships, they're usually not open past around noon on Saturday in the service department, if you're lucky for that. And so he calls them, and they say, yeah, we've got one. And he says, great, I need a favor. I need somebody to bring this part to us, though. We're kind of stranded here. And they said, well, sorry that we can't do it. And we're like, well, we'll hire the person. We'll give hundreds of dollars for you to come and bring us this part. And they said, sorry, we don't have it. And so we started getting on the phone, and we started calling all these different places and calling these auto parts stores and saying, hey, can you have somebody bring this part to us? And they're saying, no, we can't do that. And I'm sure they just like, yeah, who is this weird person calling us, asking us to do something random? And we called churches, and we called hospitals, clergy people, all these different things to try to get somebody to bring us this part. And we were striking out. Then we sent the students on their way up here to Atlanta, and they got to the hotel last night around 11 o'clock. They got here safely, and we made this all these phone calls, left these messages, and then just when we were kind of giving up some hope of getting this bus fixed, there was this man who called, and his name was Harold Turner, Valdosta, Georgia, from, or Valdosta to Brunswick, 2.5 hours. Harold was a retired minister, but he's taken up the pulpit again at a small church in Brunswick, and he gets this phone call, and he talks to his wife and says, we need to do something about this. He's like, he talked to his wife and he said, who do you think that we could get to do this? And she looked at him and said, Harold, it's us. We need to go and make this drive. So here's our friends. They got in their car. Absolutely. They picked up the part around 8 o'clock. They got to us at 10:30. Harold's preaching this morning, okay? And drove all the way to us. And they didn't just drop it off. There wasn't begrudgingly giving it to us. No. They said, you know, we're glad to help. And they stuck around there with us. They made sure that we got the part on there. And good thing, because there was a tool that we needed that we didn't have, and they just so happened to have it in their car, and we got the bus fixed, and they sent us on our way. God. Sorry, sometimes I get choked up with that kind of stuff. God sends his people at the right time. God's in the business for rescuing people from difficult situations. Let me tell you something, church. God is in the business of rescuing people. I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ. For most of you, this is the very first time I've met you. I don't know your story. I don't know your background. I don't know the difficulties and the struggles that you've had in your life. There's a Savior who loves you, who died for you, and desires to have a relationship with you. Desires for you to make him the Lord and Savior of your life. So where are you this morning, church? Why don't you get honest with yourself this morning? Why don't you cry out to God and say, Jesus, this is where I'm at. I'm broken. I'm hurting. I'm in this desperate situation. I think I can do it on my own, God, but every time I try to, I just fall short. I fall short of what you call me to do. Cry out to Jesus this morning, church. Ask Jesus to come. Of your life. And when you follow Jesus, things might not look the way that you intended. We didn't intend yesterday for our day to look like it looked like. Poor Dave, he's driving back. He got to the hotel at 3 o'clock this morning. is here this morning to share it with you all. Jesus doesn't promise that everything will be perfect, rainbows and butterflies, but what does he promise? Surely I will be with you always. This morning, church, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you haven't surrendered to him and to baptism and to say, Jesus, lead my life, then I pray that you would be obedient to this invitation to come and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you just need prayer this morning. Up, but I'm ready to get my life back on track. Wherever you're at this morning, you be obedient to what Christ is calling in your life. If you would, let's stand and sing together. If you have a decision to make.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Chorus 1. Bridge. Bridge. Drums in. Bridge. Bridge.
We have lots of people in this congregation who grew up around that area. You'd be surprised. We have people who grew up in Honeacre. We have people who went to school in Grundy here today, at Mountain Missions. It's just an amazing thing. Last time I was at Mountain Missions on behalf of the church here, Larry Perry and I took books from Mount Carmel to Mountain Mission School in the library. And Gene Carter was with us, and it was a wonderful thing. We came back by my house. I'm going to tell you a quick story. We came back by my house, and we picked up some old barn lumber out of a barn and brought it here for us to put in our new house. And while we're unloading all that stuff, we pick up one, and there was a black snake about 8 feet long, about that big around. And let me tell you, Gene Carter can climb walls. he really took off a flying, but Gene and Rita, they really showed the heart of Mountain Missions. And they showed it to lots of people, and that carried on through these generations. We're going to continue that. We support the mission at Mountain Missions. And now you know, when we talk about it, what it's all about. Thank you guys for coming. The newsletter went out. It's in your email. You do have to click the link to actually see it, because I know which one of you did and which didn't. See, that's kind of scary, isn't it? We're starting the baby pees diaper and baby wipes shower out there. You can bring them some diapers and baby wipes, because they have no idea what they're getting into. And we're going to support them. They get to change the diapers. I'm just going to give it to them. Now, also, Easter is coming, and we have a very busy Easter weekend. You all check that out and come and be a part of it, all right? And it's 12:30, and y'all are hungry. So what we're going to do, Kenny's going to dismiss us, and if you want to talk to these guys, you probably got just a few minutes, because they're going to go eat lunch. But, we want to pray for Mountain Missions, and that these kids that they're reaching are truly an inspiration to me. And so we want to pray that continues. Kenny, will you please?
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, we want to thank you for the time that you've given us today that we could learn about your word, and thank you for all the people that came here today and got to do this presentation for us, or rather, we got to hear their presentation from them, and we just pray that you stay with this school and their ministry, and you give them everything they need to be as successful for your will as possible. And just extend that to everybody else in the church as we go out into the community this week and just do our best to carry out what you think is best for everybody. And thank you so much for everything you do. In your name, amen.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy.